barefoot on holy ground, realizing right where we are is holy. So much of our culture says, well, you'll get to holy ground when you do this and this and this, if you get perfect enough, if you never doubt, if you pray without ceasing, if you do this, that, or the other, you'll get there eventually. No, it's recognizing it's right here, right now, right where you are. Jesus says it over and over again. The kingdom of heaven is within you. It's all around you. The presence of God is closer than hands and feet. It's right here, right now. And that whole concept started far earlier because it's been part of spiritual traditions forever. Simply recognizing the presence of God. Before we had cultures evolve, humanity was looking at the night sky and watching the cycles of the moon and knowing that there was something greater. There's an order and a presence to all of this. And there's a beautiful story that's found back in Exodus with Moses, where he is walking out in the wilderness, and this is before he leads them to the Holy Land and all. And he is out there, and he doesn't want to speak. In fact, he says, God, I'll do what you want, but just don't make me talk in front of anybody. That was kind of the agreement I tried to do with the presence of God when they told me I was going to go to ministerial school. Junior high school came back, taking and dropping all my index cards for a talk that I was terrified about giving, picking them up all out of order, and then just reading them, even though it made no sense because I didn't know what else to do. So Moses is out there going, okay, I'll do some of it, but I don't know. And so what happens? God says, okay, well, if you really don't think you can talk, we'll let Joshua do it. Well, of course, Moses steps into it as he connects with this presence of the divine. I couldn't do this without stepping into that presence to the best of my ability. And so out in the wilderness, suddenly a bush comes a flame that is not consumed by the fire. It's just a light and with fire. And the voice comes forth and says, I am that I am. In other words, don't give me a single name. There were many names in the Hebrew traditions for the presence of God. There was everything from Jehovah to Elohim. There were names that included masculine and feminine. And this voice says simply, I am that I am. I am all. I am everything. I am no thing. And I am the light of the world, the light from which all of creation becomes made manifest. And he tells Moses, where you stand is holy ground. Take off your sandals. Where you stand is holy ground. It's not out there somewhere. And I think that's why at the end of the journey, Moses doesn't actually step into over the border of what's been established as the Holy Land for them. I think the reason that he didn't do it, he knew all the way along that he was guiding them into an awareness that it was all Holy Land and that he had been standing on it from before he was even aware of it. So standing barefoot on holy ground. Okay, I am home, I am home. For my whole life since I was a kid, my mother struggled getting shoes on me. I realized, it was this morning as I was meditating, you've been doing this your whole life. I still remember, Pam, you gotta put your shoes on. We're leaving the house now. Well, okay. To this day, our dogs are just hanging out and chill. The minute I put shoes on, they're like, where are you going? Because I'm obviously going somewhere because I'm putting shoes on. In Texas, friends said, "We know Pam's already at the party because there's a purse and a pair of shoes by the front door." Barefoot, barefoot on holy ground. Many of the traditions teach that if you want to feel the presence of the divine, take off your shoes and stand on the earth. If you need healing, if you need energy, and it's the beauty of welcoming and embracing embodiment in a physical form as divine presence. It's not something separate. It's part of where we are right now. And if you need healing, I encourage you to put a blanket on the ground somewhere and just lay on the ground and let the energy of the divine Mother Earth support your whole body and gift you with a realization and a remembrance of this presence of the divine wherever you are. In this book, Gloria starts out in this wonderful place that I absolutely love. And normally I just make copies of this and don't have the book, but I got, use the book. Use the book. I love books. You can tell I love books if you've been in my home. Lane swears if our foundation ever cracks, it's going to be under my study. She says this: "Over the last three decades, more and more of us have become aware of the interconnectedness of mind, body, and spirit. We've been rebirthed, reparented, Rolfed, and realigned with acupuncture, chiropractic, homeopathy, therapeutic massages, and energy work. We've been recovered and 12-stepped, cleared and cleansed with everything from colonics to sage, sweats to primal screams. We've learned to find shadows, codependent pattern, past lives, and lost inner children. We've given up cigarettes, hard liquor, and red meat, and taken up veggies, flower essences, and herbs. We know our cholesterol levels and our heart rates. We know," this was pre-iWatches, "we know where the sun and moon are on our astrological charts, the number of the personal year we are currently in, our Enneagram and Myers-Briggs acronyms." Sound familiar? "We've gone to workshops for our souls, our sex lives, our auras, and our finances. We've filled countless notebooks with more lectures than anyone can name and spent weeks in ashrams, convents, monasteries, and retreat centers. We've meditated, recycled, networked, drummed, danced, inner journeyed, and chanted in a dozen languages. We've learned, we've listened to gurus, shamans, channelers, visiting lecturers, and a multitude of teachers who act as escorts through our passages. And now, are we all saints and masters? Probably not. Are we more awake? I think so. Are we more prepared to carry out our missions? Probably. For all of the flaws and missteps, the dabbling and psychobabbling, and in spite of the ever-present potential for narcissism and inflation, through the processes, many of us have been made ready for our assignments in the world. A new breed of spiritual seekers has emerged in the last several decades. I call them disciples. Awake, aware, committed, and global in world view. I do not use the word disciple easily in this book, but for me, a disciple is one who recognizes, commits to, and is obedient to the promptings of his or her inner spiritual imperative and chooses to bring that consciousness into every aspect of life. Sounds like my soul journey. I've done all kinds of things over the years, and they've all been part of what I weave together now in what I present on Sundays and how I seek to live my life. She says that disciples are aware and awake, but most of all, they're committed. They're committed to serving. They're committed to being the presence of the divine in the world and to accelerate our movement toward recognizing the kingdom of heaven on earth, here and now, in, through, and as us. There's a wonderful film called City of Joy that came out many years ago. And in it, one of the characters says there are three ways to go through life. One is to run. That's very much Western culture. Another is to observe. That's a little more Eastern culture. And the third way is to commit. To commit. To be willing to experience life at depth and to bring who we are to bear. It's going from a consciousness of saving the world, which is basically insinuating that heaven is somewhere else, to a consciousness of serving the world, because you realize the kingdom of heaven is here and now, and that it comes through us. The poet Rumi says there are 100 ways to kneel and kiss the earth. Isn't that wonderful? Hundreds of ways to kneel and kiss the earth. All of the different spiritual traditions speak of a path. There's the Tao, the way, the middle way of the Buddha, the narrow way of the Christian path, the royal way of the Hindu path, and all of them are part of recognizing that we're on a path, a journey, an unfolding. And the thing that's the biggest awareness is to realize it's not a ladder, it's a spiral, it's a circle. Nature doesn't have any square angles. Everything is curved and shifting and constantly evolving. And so the images that we're drawn to on this spiritual path are spirals, labyrinths, lotuses, and that the center of the circle is what's important, not the top of the ladder. The center of the circle. When we talk about prayer and meditation, we go to the center and God is present there, but God is equally present at the farthest reaches of the circumference of the circle of life and creation. Everywhere present. Not just out there. Yes, out there, but not just in here. All of it is held in that divine presence. And so she says the next most important step in human evolution is the birth of the Christ within, the center. Through the renewing of the mind, we find this Christ within. No one can become a pioneer of this new race until the Christ has been born within. It starts within. There are four different kinds of knowing the way that she speaks of that I'll go over today. First is knowing through knowledge. The second is knowing through revelation. The third is knowing through discernment. And the fourth is knowing through your human, your sacred humanity, your body temple. Knowing with your mind is something that we recognize in unity. We recognize, as she does, that everything is interconnected. And when we stand on holy ground, that comes alive for us in new ways. And we remember unity, truth, one. There is one presence and one power. God, by whatever name one chooses to call that divine spark from which we all emanate. I am that I am. Knowing through knowledge, a knowingness of this presence, is that study that we do. It's recognized that how we think about things affects how they manifest in our world. that everything starts in that creative realm of mind and thinking, and that the most important thing you can do is to follow the scriptures. Don't be conformed of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. When you hit spiritual truth, the old phrase is, you know that you know that you know. There's this deep peace that comes with it. And Albert Einstein said that the thing that's even more important than knowledge is imagination. Because that's what lets your knowledge open and get bigger. Imagination brings new possibilities. Think about how you've grown in spiritual knowledge in the course of your life, in spiritual experiences in the course of your life. From Charles Fillmore's Mysteries of Genesis, he says, in sense mind, focused on the outer senses, there is disorder, manifest in confusion of thought and action, while in divine mind, everything is in perfect order. Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Recognizing your thoughts is one of the ways of knowing the path of spirit that you're on. The next is revelation. Revelation is that deeper knowledge of the heart. It's the knowledge that intuition will meet you and guide you right where you are. It's that revelation is aha. When I taught deaf children, I always loved the sign for understanding. It's this, the light bulb goes off. Understanding. Revelation is when you go, aha, I'd never thought of that before. Something new bursts forth on your consciousness to help you take that next step of growth. In the Mystic Heart, Brother Teasdale is, when he asks people, where is God? The people of the West point to heaven. Where is God? The people of the East point to their chests, to their hearts. Nobody points to our heads. Thinking is important, but when it drops into the heart, the wisdom of the heart is far more powerful than the knowledge of the mind. They both are part of this process, but it's taking it deeper into a deeper level of trust. Joel Goldsmith said, the place where you stand is holy ground as long as you are contemplating the presence and power of God within you. Only the degree in which you consciously realize God and let this realization dwell within you does it become true that you do not live alone. For the place where you stand is holy ground. God is with you, and the divine will never forsake you, leave you, will ever be present. So part of this path of knowing is not only knowledge, it's letting it drop into a wisdom of the heart. And that's where our fourth truth of unity comes in, along with that third power. The third power of knowledge, the creative power of thought, is our divine inheritance. Through this, we form our lives and our world, and we seek to do it consciously and gracefully. Knowledge. And now revelation, that's the other wing of that. The power of prayer heals, uplifts, and transforms us. The kingdom of heaven is made manifest on earth in, through, and as us. Prayer helps us access that revelatory, intuitive realm where new things can awaken us. And then you get the joke sign for understanding, which is, this is standing, two little legs standing on holy ground. This is understanding. What is underpinning your understanding of your journey in the world? Understanding and standing. The third is discernment. And I love discernment. Discernment, Karpinski says, helps us choose appropriate ways to walk and talk our deepest intentions. It teaches us to take another look at our world with new eyes. It fuses intuition, experience, and knowledge. They're weaving together now. This one joins in. Wisdom never judges, but is always discriminating, moment by moment, choice by choice for clarity. It always seeks the kingdom of heaven. It's recognizing that we get to look at things and evaluate and interpret and perceive and then make further decisions based upon that. She says, people get caught up in judgment. That's the shadow side of discernment. That's why Jesus says, judge not by outer appearances, but judge righteously. Judge with spiritual eyes that see past the outer appearances of situations and people so that you can discern what is really going on to the best of your ability with what you've learned on the journey of your soul. How can you do that? The best way is in the midst of a situation, wait. Breathe. It's said that breathing and practicing breath is actually a portable altar that's always available for us. So to discern, you get to step back a little bit. See a higher point of view. Wait, breathe, listen. Let it unfold. Webster says, to lay hold, discernment is to lay hold of understanding, especially that which is hidden or obscured. It's to divine. I love that. It's to divine. It's to determine, like a divining rod, but it's to divine. It's to bring that divine, sacred wisdom into the moment. Fillmore says it's ready insight into divine law. That for us comes when we remember our second truth. The presence of God indwells all things. We call it the Christ within, but we honor that presence in all beings regardless of spiritual path. And then finally, the fourth knowing, you've got your knowing that's knowledge, that you've brought into intuition and revelation, and that you're now discerning as you move through the world. And the last piece is to recognize what our whole theme has been the last several years, which is that we are embodied divinity. We are to be honored for our humanity as well as for our divinity. They are woven together. They are something you cannot separate. One of the things that she says is the imagined split between body and soul is the great-great-grandparent of most of the duality we experience on earth. It's when we separated those two. In the Essene Gospel of Peace, I tell you truly, your body was made not only to breathe and eat and think, it was also made to enter into the holy stream of life. So it's the knowledge blended in with the wisdom of your heart. Discern step by step as you do this soul journey to the best of your ability, recognizing that it's all being done in an embodied form for a divine reason. For us, that lies at the core. We are here to be a light for ourselves and others and our world. We are eternal spiritual beings having an earthly experience for a divine reason. In the scriptures, we recognize this from 1 Corinthians 12. For just as the body is one and has many members, and all of the members of the body, though many, are one body, so it is with Christ. For in the one Spirit we were baptized into one body, Jews or Greeks, slaves or free, and we were made to drink of one Spirit. We are reclaiming the beauty and wonder of the physical world and our physical selves, because that is what we are called to do when we realize we are always and forever standing on holy ground. I'd like to read one more passage as I close from her. Barefoot on holy ground. Take off your shoes, the place you stand is holy ground, said God to Moses. It is now being said to you and me. Let go of the past, let go of limitations and pretensions. Stand barefoot wherever you are, and you will see that every space and every moment is sacred. You can no more separate the sacred from where you are sitting in this moment than you could separate the instrument from the music or the moon from the moonlight. To walk in reverence and humility is to walk barefoot on holy ground. Our feet represent our understanding, our foundation, and our groundedness in this dimension. There is no greater point of power than the one within yourself. There is no more sacred ground than where you are standing today. No more significant face in evolution than the one you are looking into. Whether it's the one in the mirror, the one across at breakfast or the conference table, or the one you pass in the street. I now invite you to take off your shoes and walk with me barefoot on holy ground. So I invite you this week to do that, not only figuratively, but literally. Embody that. Go to North Beach and walk on the sand. Go out in your garden and walk in the grass. Lay on the earth if you feel guided to. Realize that it's all divine creation. From the first of Genesis, it was all created. And what did the divine say? It is all good. It is all good. You, your path, your journey is all part of the sacred unfoldings, not only of your own soul, but of this world we are blessed to share. And I promise you, you make a difference with your presence, with your prayers, with your thoughts and your actions. You are someone who walks this earth barefoot on holy ground, realizing the kingdom of heaven is all around and within. Let us pray. Oh, sweet, sweet Spirit, may we stand on holy ground, realizing that right where we are is holy and sacred space, that the journey of our souls has brought us to this moment, and that most seek to do the best with what they know at any given time. We can look back with regret, but we can release that regret when we remember what we've learned through those experiences. We can look forward without fear, knowing that what is yet to come is for highest and best and for the unfolding of our soul and our world, and that we never walk alone. And right now, this day, feel this holy presence beneath your feet, above your head, and all around. Lift your arms up to the sky. feet on the ground, arms open and uplifted to the sky, and realize you are a sacred chalice. You form the vessel with your arms of the body of the chalice that infills with the divine presence. It comes down through your body to be made present and visible in this world, and it grounds in the circle at the bottom of chalice that is the circle of ground upon which you stand that is holy. May we all be willing vessels. May we be ones who are channels of divine presence right where we are and as we are. May we love one another, as my mother loved to say, warts and all, I love you. So may we love one another, walk beside one another, barefoot on holy ground. Om, amen, and blessed be.